sinners, choosers, lovers, dreamers, hypocrites, cynical bastards, and everyone who's wasting away on Margaritaville, welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. So glad to have you with us. Got a great episode for you this week. Normally I wait a little bit, put them in the can, do this intro a little bit later. I'm doing this intro right after recording this podcast, and it was a great one with Patrick McDonald of the UCB mod team, The Bus. Patrick is a writer and performer out here in Los Angeles, a really funny comedian, a real joy to watch on stage, and so it was great to sit down and talk to him in depth. I haven't really talked to him before, and it was a true delight, and I want to thank him for being really honest and going to some fun places and some not-so-fun places, and so I think you really like this episode. I learned a lot. I learned what the horns of Moses were, which, if you don't know what it is, you'll have to listen to find out. But in the meantime, check out Mod Night on UCBLA. We also reference a podcast that's coming up. It might be out by the time you listen to this. I don't know when they're releasing it, but it's going to be called the Parrothead Podcast, if you're a Jimmy Buffett fan. We talk up top a little bit about that, if you're interested. As a Fish fan and a Grateful Dead fan, I really can't make any snide remarks or jokes about Jimmy Buffett. Or actually, maybe that means I have the full license, because they're really just members of my extended family. So anyway, coming up on a year of this podcast, so the rants have been getting shorter and shorter as my gratitude has been getting greater and greater for you guys and the messages I continue to receive about things that this show has touched you. And so thank you so much for that. This might be the best idea I've ever had and actually put into action. So thank you guys for making this a really special year for me. Anyway, if you like this show, you can find me on iTunes and Stitcher, ChooseYourOwnReligion.com, the Facebook page, Twitter, you'll find me there. Just Google around, you'll find me. And if you're in Los Angeles, every Tuesday night at the Copper Still Bar, I run a weekly comedy show along with Ryan Middledorf, who's also the co-producer of this podcast. So if you're in LA, we do an improv and stand-up weekly show, 8:30 at the Copper Still Bar. It's called Reviewer. I would love to have you come out. That's it, y'all. Please prepare your hearts and minds and put on your parrot heads or however that works. And please tune in, turn on, and drop out into this podcast and give it up for Patrick McDonald.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool. So tell me more about this podcast you have going on. It's a Jimmy Buffett podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's Jimmy Buffett. I think right now it's called the Parrothead Podcast.
Uh-huh.
So it should be good. I'm very excited. We're just going to be going through all the hits,
yeah,
talking about Buffett. I'm a huge Buffett fan.
So you are a huge Buffett fan.
I am, yeah. I'm a bit of a Parrothead.
How many shows have you been to?
I have only been to two.
Okay. Because
I'm a little new to the touring part of it.
Uh-huh.
But I've always been a big fan.
Do you feel like you missed out? Is this the golden era of Jimmy Buffett? I don't even know. Like, are there like eras to his like body of work? Because
I wonder. I don't know. The thing is, he doesn't really make a lot of new music.
Right.
And so like every year, he's one of the top 10 like
touring,
highest paid touring artists of every year. He's always like either in like 5 through 7, like he's always in the top 10 because he just plays the same songs. Like somebody described to me once when I was at a Buffett concert, they said like, not the best singer, not the best guitar player, but he throws a hell of a party. And so that's pretty much what it is.
Cool,
that's pretty
man.
Much the deal of it. Yeah. It's great.
I totally relate to that. Just I'm a huge Fish fan.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very similar to that. I have a lot of friends that are really into Fish.
Yeah.
It's never, I've never really given it a shot, but I'm super open to it.
Hey, man, anytime you want to go to a show, just
let
me know.
Dude, I would love to go to a show. They played recently. Did they play the Bowl this year?
They played at the Forum.
Played at the Forum. Did you go?
I did. It was a great time. It's actually the weakest of the times I've seen them in L.A., but
really?
It's still good. I mean, it's one of those things. I assume there's so many parallels I'm already hearing from like Buffett and Fish, but like one of those things, it's like even a bad Fish show for me is better than like every other,
of course,
every other place I'd rather be on Earth.
Yeah.
Because it is like, it not only is it a party, but it's like, oh, here's my other fucking weird people who get me.
That's what it is. It's like this culture of like no judgment. Like, because there's all these, there's these stigmas to it, right? So it's like, it's just fun. It's just a blast. I want to go to a Fish concert. I have a buddy that, do you know Mars Sanford?
No.
He's in the improv community.
Mm-mm.
He was on one of my first indie teams. He's a good friend of mine, but he has gone to so many Fish concerts. He's like lost count. Like I think he made it to 100 and then lost track. And he just did like Fish tour all summer this year. And I was seeing these posts.
Oh, that's right.
And he did this thing. He was like, well, I haven't gotten to do my post Fish tour Facebook status, so here it is. And it was like like really long with all these inside jokes that he had with this whole community, and then they're all saying these things that I have no clue what they're talking about.
Man,
I'm so into it. It's so cool.
I need to friend him just to get those updates.
You
man.
Should honestly, you would love it. I mean you would probably think it was hilarious. I thought it was cool too because I had no idea what it was about.
I know.
It was awesome.
Well, it's like, man, talk about like not to segue ham-fistedly into religious stuff,
but
talk about being like, I've wanted to be an evangelical Fish fan so bad in the past, but I long since learned that like it's just gonna fall on deaf ears.
Pearl
before swine. Just it's not gonna pan out. And for some reason, there's something about just anytime, I think we had just have a natural reaction as humans to like feeling somebody evangelizing anything or pushing anything on us. We're like, no thanks.
I think we get self-conscious about other people's passions. Like I think if somebody's like really into something and you're not, I think you get a little. I think my first feeling is, oh, I feel bad because I can't relate to this person. And then my second feeling is like, oh, I should probably step away because I have nothing to say to you out of almost just like a self-preserving, I don't want to look like an idiot because you know more than I do about something.
It's like, just, so, you're confused.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
not even like, not, what is he talking about? But you're just like, I don't understand. I don't get it. And then that's what's so hard about like, man, a Fish concert. Like I can describe like all the songs they play, why it's like, oh, they play a different set every show like they improvise and all this stuff, but like really it's just the feeling, it's the indescribable
it's like the happening of it all. That's just what it really feels like. And it's not even, from what I talk to people, it's not about drugs, it's not about any of that, it's just about like really and that's that's Buffett. No, Buffett, I would never say Buffett is like the same level. But I would, not for me. I can imagine other people are like that. Because people do go obsessively, go see Buffett and stuff.
Wait, how did you get into Buffett?
So my friends, my friends that I moved out here and stayed with first were super into it. And we just all started getting really into it together. But before that, I grew up in Texas. My dad played it all the time. Everyone.
Wait, is Texas big Buffett country?
Oh yeah,
I don't even know.
It's pretty big Buffett country.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, a lot of parrot heads down there. Uh-huh. Everywhere is Buffett country. It's unregulated. It is primarily in the South, I would say. There's a lot of Southern Buffett people and a lot of like country.
Well, Florida, right? Isn't he from
Florida?
Florida,
yeah. Well, he's from Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
But he's Florida's Key West.
Sure,
he's spent a lot of time in Key West.
Flamingos.
Yeah, Margaritaville is kind of centered down there. So. Uh-huh. But he's a big symbol of the South in certain ways.
Yeah,
a symbol of the South carries such a heavy connotation. I shouldn't have said that, but
So your dad was super into him.
Dad was super into him. Yeah, everyone around was kind of. He was kind of always in the background.
Was mom on board, or was she like not my thing?
I think she was on board. Uh-huh. I think she liked him. I'm trying to think like. My parents were huge Van Morrison fans.
Okay,
that was a big deal. That was a big album in our house, and then Buffett's album was a big album in our house.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she perused him. I think my dad was a little more passionate about Buffett than
sure.
He was.
Now, and he's like, is he when you're growing up, he's playing Buffett records all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is he be like, now old Patty. Now this is the real shit right here.
No, he would never do that.
No,
he was never the person that was like, you have to listen to this. It was just like kind of like, oh yeah, Buffett's good. We'll put it on. But he was always a big fan of him. I think it's just that good party music. It's just you put it on in the background and you have a good time, and it's promoting margaritas.
Cool.
So he wasn't he was never like a super connoisseur of Buffett, but he definitely liked it.
He just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So my other ham-fisted segue then is
I love those.
Did he, was there any of that same kind of, I mean, how does that compare to, because I don't know any of your religious background.
Right.
I'm complete blank slate.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. Some episodes I know, some episodes I don't. I enjoy not knowing. So
awesome.
How does that relate to religion? Was it like, was there a religion that they were a part of and they're into, and they're like, hey, here's this happy thing that you can, come and drink margaritas at or whatever.
Right.
Or was it more of a deliberate, like, no, you need to go. Cause for me, it was like, you got to go to church.
Was it really?
Well, my dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
It was really not an option.
At any point. It was just always, it was kind of like you, came into consciousness at church almost. Like it was like always part of your life.
Absolutely, man. I literally don't remember not going to church like every single week.
That's insane.
Yeah.
We're not insane. That's completely reasonable. And growing up in Texas, that's like something I'm very used to, and something I even like support in a lot of ways. I think like growing up in a church gives you a lot of morals and you can raise yourself. I know plenty of people that are wonderful people that made me better people just being around them because they were more well-versed in like religious studies than I was.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, yeah, my dad was... went to Catholic school, so he was Catholic growing up his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom, I'm not sure what churches she... I don't believe she went to very many churches. But by the time it got to me, they were very much like kind of do what you want. Like pick your choice. Like
interesting.
My experience in church was we would go to the Methodist church a lot. When I started being like 10 or 11 years old, but that was mainly because I wanted to do kind of theater stuff and they had a choir. So that was a chance for me to sing and do little like shows and stuff. And then I got to sing. You gave me some exposure. I got to sing at the services.
Yeah.
And it was like a really nice, cool community. There was a family that we were close with. And I did like scouts with my friend Brandt and then his mom, Charlene, which is his... she was my teacher, so I call her Mrs. McKenzie. She was my eighth grade teacher. But I was really close with that family, and they were really a big part of it. So they kind of brought us into that church.
Oh, cool.
And we would go there for like, I sang there for maybe about a year in the choir because Mrs. McKenzie taught the choir. But other than that, like, I remember specifically driving home from an Easter service that I sang at. And I was with my mom, and when we were talking, I was like, yeah, I guess I kind of learned about the service. Like, I learned about Easter at the church because we didn't really know. We were just kind of going.
Yeah,
we had,
yeah.
like, the junior version of Bible stories
for right.
the kids. We just read them for the stories.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, yeah, I didn't know that he was, like, in the tomb for, like, 3 days, and then they opened and he was gone. And my mom was like, yeah, I don't buy it. I was like, well, oh, I guess, okay. But we liked the Methodist church because they clapped after all the songs.
And oh, yeah,
it was like
wow.
very performative.
That and is then, pretty performative.
Yeah.
We wouldn't clap after. It was like a very strict, like, no, yeah. that was for Jesus.
Right,
for God.
No, it's like, good for you. Everyone would be like, oh, that was great. Good singing. Like, it was very performative.
I guess, you know, now I think about it, they're probably, we're for the kids every now and then. Yeah. Like, nobody else for sure. So that's what made it weird. Like, kids, like, it was like I was slightly pandering,
right,
like,
right, right. Let's humor them,
yeah.
Let's humor these,
but they were humored,
idiots.
We right. were very humored.
That's great,
yeah.
That's great, yeah. And then, like, it kind of tapered off after that. I was like, yeah, maybe I'm not super into this, but it kind of tapered off. And then, but like, the biggest religious thing about our family is that we go to Christmas Eve Mass because my mom loves the songs and the candle and everything like that. So we're always there. We're like the Christmas Eve.
It's a good vibe on Christmas Eve Mass.
We like the show. Uh-huh. It's all about the show for us.
Wait, is this because at our Christmas Eves, I grew up Presbyterian, we would have we would light candle. Like this was the big moment you always look forward to was, you know, it's kind of normal church, first half hour, so you're just kind of going through. You have Christmas music, that's the main difference. And then the sermon, and then right after the sermon, it's time for the lights to dim.
Time for a little Silent Night.
Yeah.
Passing it, that baby. Flame right around.
Oh, yeah, baby. You get to hold that flame. You
so
get
they did have
flame.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, we still went. I went this past Christmas. I mean, I've been going there for like 15 years. And
wow.
It's really cool.
Just to come in for Christmas.
Just come in for Christmas. We love, cool. But we don't miss it. It's not like a, and it is, it's what crazy is that it isn't like a, we need to show our face to God. It's like, we like the show. We like the feeling of it.
Yeah.
It's like really nice. It's like, yeah, I think growing up in like small town Texas, there was definitely a lot of religious stuff that was up in the air. Like it was all over the place.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And my brother kind of got in with the Baptist church for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I remember that was super weird, but he only went for like a year, that kind of young life stuff.
Uh huh. They're pretty intense.
They're pretty intense. But the crazy thing is in our high school, the Young Life people would like come every day and sit in the cafeteria with like all the kids that did it, like all the, and so it was like we'd meet these and be like, you're so funny, you better come over, like we're gonna have like cheeseburger night, we're all gonna eat cheeseburgers, it's gonna be really fun. I was like, oh, we're gonna have a big mud pit, like let's all come on and like hang out in the mud pit. And I was like, I that sounds really fun, but like it's like I know what you're doing. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it.
You don't. You can definitely feel that.
Yeah,
it's that evangelical thing again. Yeah, yeah. It's like I don't care for that.
Yeah, it was like it's that thing of like I wish like please just tell me, like you don't have to be. I'd be so open to just kind of listening about this new culture and stuff.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So wait, you And so your brother didn't, he just kind of dropped out for a little
bit. He did
about
a year,
did
a ski trip.
Yeah.
He did a couple things, and then I think he stopped kind of going there, yeah.
So I'm just...
we all dabbled in a bunch of stuff, and I was really big friends with Mormons. That's the final thing.
Oh, yeah?
My big...
Well, in the choir.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they weren't in the choir with us, but they were... I just was super good friends with, like, first grade, my friend Melissa Anderson was one of my first close friends, and... Mm-hmm. She was Mormon, and I learned a lot about that from her. And then my friend Brett in high school was my best friend in high school. And, he was Mormon, and it was, I always talked to them and listened to them about their stuff. And, it was super interesting.
Yeah. Well, I just said choir, I was putting it in my own head because my high school, cause I was a theater kid, middle school and high school.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. No, you're right. They are. They hang out.
They love the high school chorus. That's where I met. Cause I got roped into doing chorus by my theater kid friends. All of a sudden, I know like 20 Mormons out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's correct. And the theater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Theater
by program. The way, on average, even almost, I can't even think of a single one I didn't like.
Yeah.
Like, really pleasant people.
Oh, wonderful.
Just the nicest, kindest.
So nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had a big crush on, Megan. I can't remember her last name. It was a very, very obviously a very important crush in my life.
It was very memorable.
Yeah. We had a joke. Really loved it was it. Like a joking thing, but also I was kind of serious about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. But I'm curious to go back to when you were singing in the choir.
Yes.
For this church. And you're like, you're just doing it because you like to sing.
Yeah, yeah.
For the performance.
Right.
I mean, what was it feeling like? How did it feel just like reading these like really holy religious words and like it's like, I don't know what exactly you're saying. Do you remember some of the specific songs?
There was one. It was like a religious song to Greensleeve. Mm-hmm. It was like King of Kings, salvation brings our loving hearts, enthrone them, these things to Christ the Lord.
Oh yeah,
it's like whatever that really religious version of Greensleeve is.
Yeah,
maybe it's all of them, but I don't think it is. I think it was just whatever it is.
That sounds familiar.
The Son of Mary, like stuff like that.
So you're just like, I mean, you're just.
I'm clearly still a great singer. So.
Well, it's not Buffett. Yeah. It's not Buffett. So
no, it's not Buffett. Yeah, yeah.
But like, so are you just like? I mean,
yeah. When I'm singing, it's like, what feeling do I have when I'm singing?
Like, what were you? What was it like? This is like a 10, 11 year old kid.
Yeah.
Being like, here's some like really intense words.
Yeah, I am honestly like, I was just kind of like, well, this is fun. Like, I didn't. What's crazy now that I'm thinking about it, I never ever thought about the religious context of them.
That's so
like,
interesting.
And we didn't talk about them. Like, it was about like getting to work and just singing them right and singing them.
I just got a job to do. All right,
got a job to do.
Just gonna get
in. It was never like sitting down and being like, "What do these mean? What does this song mean? Like, what's going on here?" It was like just very like singing it. Do you have that right? Does that sound good? No, fix that. It says, "Okay, great." And then we'd sing it, and it would be, "Oh, that's so wonderful." It was just like a very, I don't know. It never got pressed upon me to like act any certain way or sing it with any sort of importance.
Just go in, get the claps, yeah. get out.
Exactly. As long, just go do it for that performance buzz, baby.
But that's so interesting to me because I don't even, you know, I think maybe at first blush our instinct is to be like, oh, well, like, I don't know. I think a lot of Christians might think you need to know like the specifics
right.
of it. But right. I also, I don't know, the older I get, the more I tend to, especially in matters of like spiritual matters, I tend to distrust like language versus that intuitive feeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, just like, I mean, the like the Fish concert, the Jimmy Buffett concert,
right, right,
you
right,
know,
right.
We can try to describe and like, I can try to like write down for you, like, oh, this is what happens. This is what's happening. Just like a Bible might say, like, this is what's happening. This is,
right.
But it's almost like the more you describe it, the farther away we just get from being in touch with like, oh, this is like a really cool vibe. Like,
right, right, right.
The fucking candles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. The first thing that Methodist Church was like the coolest. And like, that's what we just felt really cool and comfortable there. And nobody, it was just like a really nice vibe of nobody forcibly like, do you feel comfortable here? Do you feel happy here? And that is kind of the extent of how we felt. Like,
yeah.
And it wasn't like pushing us to, you know, I mean, it was obviously donating to it and committing to it and stuff like that. But I never felt a desire to go through any of that. And I didn't ever feel pushed.
That's so interesting.
Either. I know, it's so weird. And it's like, it was just literally like, oh, this is nice. Cool. I like this. This is fun. And then I stopped going because I started doing theater elsewhere, going to church.
Right.
And,
more complicated songs.
Yeah, more complicated songs. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny. Because I, somebody who doesn't, I don't know much of your backstory.
Right, right.
I
right.
had you so like you always make assumptions of people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I had
no,
you
what
so
did you
dead,
think?
I had you dead to rights. Is like, oh yeah, he has a youth group vibe.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
But that's like a compliment.
No, here's the thing. This is a big compliment. Or I see it as a compliment, but I get this a lot. Or people being like, you must have like grown up religious because I have like a very open. Positive vibe. Somebody just asked me, was like, where do you get your joy from? Did you get your joy from church? I was like, where do I get my joy from? I think, honestly, like, I think it was just from my parents just being supportive and positive and just being open to anything.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's it. Like, that's what's kind of weird is that I never really felt like any sort of straight connection to any sort of religious thing. I do believe in some sort of like, fate kind of driven, right place, right time kind of thing. I do believe in that because a lot of things have happened that have been very
like a karmic type thing, or
yeah, like a little karmic, or like, yeah, like things happen for a reason. And I don't really know what that reason is. I don't really think too much about it, but it's like, if it's like it's happening, it's happening because it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I'll act from it, but it's never like a sort of, my life's been predestined, but it's like, there's little things sometimes that if they happen, it's like, oh, wow. Like, things kind of have a way of coming back for me. Like, little things connect that I don't, you know, this happens and this happens, and then something else will happen that the previous two things lends itself to. That makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of, like, cool with it.
Yeah. Like, just a general belief that things will work out.
Yeah. And that's probably a very, like, lucky point of view that my parents always made me feel like that, and it was always just a... But it's also like things work out because they have to, because I want them to, because I'm working for them to.
Right, right. You're taking actions.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's almost like they go hand in hand, because if you believe things will work out, then that's the motivation you need to keep
working
and keep creating, keep making these connections, keep, I don't know, for me, it's like when, you know, doing open mics, like stand-up open mics, when I first started doing
them,
you know, you're just bombing all the time.
Absolutely.
And so, but you have to have this belief that like eventually it will pay off and it will work out. And you do, I mean, you'll feel yourself getting funnier. You'll like have good moments. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not all like dog shit.
Right. A lot of it is.
A lot of dog shit.
Yeah.
But it is like, those do go hand in hand. And, you know, it's funny is like, that's what, to me, that's a, I'm a realer version and the truer version of faith in my mind than like, cause I don't know, everybody associates faith with like, oh, you have faith that like about something about the external world. Like, you have faith that God is real. You have faith that Jesus.
Right.
But that's like more of a belief than faith. You know, I feel like they're different.
Yeah. Like belief versus faith.
Yeah. And you have that faith. That's like just optimism.
I think it's it's really just like, I think things have to go okay because I want them to, and I'm going to make them.
Yeah,
like it's like that's the real truth of it. Yeah, and religious wise, it's like, Yeah, who knows? I just feel like, but that's why I think it's so exciting that there's so many religions, because they have so many, that's like there's a moral core to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I feel like it's like a, the exciting part of like, that's what drives a lot of people. I think a lot of people can find their moral core without religion, but I think that it's
definitely
an amazing thing that's like in the ethers, this idea of like doing, some people need to do good because they feel like other people are watching them.
Yeah.
And some people do good because they want to do good. So it's like,
right.
I don't know.
Right. They need different systems.
Right.
And I think too, what helps with me and having it, keeping an optimistic, positive outlook and keeping the belief that things will work out.
Right.
For me, it does require me being more flexible in what working out looks like, working out looks like.
Right.
Not pigeonholing like, oh, the only way to get success, for me to feel success is if, I don't know, I get to become a paid regular at the Comedy Store or something.
Right.
For
right,
instance,
right,
if
right,
that was
right.
the only thing One I goal. Ever wanted, right. Then you're probably sure as shit not going right. to get that
right.
too.
Right, exactly. And the idea too that like success, success sometimes isn't one thing, but it's a group of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like success can look like what like 3 years looks like, as opposed to what one moment or one day or one month looks like. Like
yeah.
success can be a very long period, and it should be a long period.
Right.
But there's a lot of intricacies to it in the middle.
Well, it's like a stock market graph.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have a shitty day in the market, but then over the course of a trend, if you're making the right, they call it like process driven.
Right.
Then if your processes are right, then eventually, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll all pay
off. Yeah. And it's you have to be positive about that. So that's what I like about certain religions too, just keeping things positive.
Now, may I ask you maybe a tough question?
Oh, I want to hear it.
Yeah. Is there a time that you've felt that optimism, that faith been challenged before? Like, can you think of something that was like really,
ooh.
You're like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know if things are going to work
out. Yeah. Let me think. There's some definitely some obvious ones. I'm trying to decide if I discuss those.
Sure. Yeah.
When my faith was challenged. Yeah, I'll talk about it. So in college, my really good friend, who's my best friend in college, his name is Griff. He died in a sudden accident. He fell down a flight of stairs and broke his neck. And it was really, really hard. He was like he was also a very positive, funny guy. And he was like, you know, we were going to move out to LA together and start comedy together and stuff like that. And that was the big, like, what's going on here? That's like, this is a real shock.
Where's the fucking justice?
Yeah. What's going on here? Yeah. What's the point of any of this at this point? Like, this is not, this happened for no reason. Like, it felt like really insane. It felt unfinished. Through that, like I think that challenged me, but what's cool about that is that, it just like, I mean, there's nothing really cool about it, but it definitely like woke me up to people that are there for me, people that are, like aware of what's going on and, open to just like being supportive of me and stuff. Yeah. And I got to meet his family, and his family is a wonderful group of people. And I'm really happy that they're in my life. I'm very sad that he's not anymore, but he still kind of is. Like, and the crazy thing about that is, and I don't try to, there's something like happens like that. Everyone kind of tries to look for signs, things like that. And I don't necessarily look for signs. But sometimes it's like very crazy. Like, it's things that come out of nowhere that are like something I got some really good news this week, and I turned on the radio and this song that was like one of his songs, his favorite songs that I haven't heard on the radio in like 5 years came on the radio out of nowhere. It was like, this song isn't played, this song isn't talked about, like, and it literally started the second I got this news.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Like, whatever cool, it is. And like, even if it is nothing, it's cool that it's like, that's this thing of life coming back, you know, in a way.
It definitely has meaning to you.
Yeah. It's like very cool. Like, it's whatever it is. Like, it doesn't have to mean that there's something greater, but it's in that moment, like the past things in my life coming back to the present, like to kind of connect for the future is like very exciting. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Hey, of course. Yeah, it's definitely hard. It happened about 4 years. It happened in 2012. So, So it's definitely tough. But I think it's Yeah, it's just part of life.
It's,
so
yeah,
it's sad, but
I mean, and it's like, I don't know, maybe like my sister had cancer. She's yeah. still with us. She's been in remission for 5 years.
Oh God!
But
thank
it was
God.
It was just any kind of brush with death, or you know, unfortunately, if you know somebody who passes,
right?
It does heighten the importance and your urgency of life a little bit, mm-hmm. for sure. And I definitely think it made me appreciate each moment of life more and just realize, mm-hmm. like, I, you know, this could all go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, I personally don't believe in much of an afterlife. I kind of mm-hmm. think it's going to be lights out over type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
That's not a disturbing thought to me.
Right.
I guess maybe sometimes it is. I'm talking right now like it is. But I think moreover, it's just like, we got one shot at this. And so when I am feeling lazier or feeling more down, it's like, well, you got, this is it, man.
Yeah. 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 And that's a part of, that whole experience for me that kind of, inspired me a little bit. Like, it's definitely like, I wouldn't want anyone ever to go through it. So I don't want anyone to think I'm talking about it like it was like a good experience.
Right.
It was a real nightmare of a time. But, it's that thing where you see these people like wasting days or like wasting a long time or not taking opportunities. And it's like, you have these opportunities. Like, you're the same age as my friend. My friend isn't here anymore. And my friend will be taking these opportunities. Mm. And like to myself, it's like, what's the point? This person's wasting the time they have. And this person deserved so much more time than he got. It's like, what's going on here? Like, how can I sit and watch you like get drunk every night?
Right.
And then like this other person doesn't get this opportunity to like really accomplish more than any of us would have.
Totally.
So it's like, that's a real mind fuck, but it's just like a different thing. And that's like why when it boils down to thinking about future, like, I think things do happen for a reason, but I don't know if anyone's guiding it. It could just be dark matter. I think dark matter from the universe is pushing us in different directions. I just went to the planetarium show at Griffith Park, and now I feel like I know everything about stars.
Wait, can you tell me more about dark matter? I've heard a little bit about it. I'm more curious.
Well, dark matter, according to this one planetarium show, I'm not an expert, which is great. The woman is like, dark matter is wonderful. She's really
wonderful. Is that Griffith?
Yeah, it's at Griffith. Yeah. It's amazing. But dark matter is the empty space in the universe that like is stalling growth. So it's like, it's the places, the reason the universe can't completely expand is that there's dark matter. Like the reason the universe doesn't go on forever and ever and ever is that there's this dark matter that's slowing its acceleration.
Interesting.
And yeah, and we don't know what it is, but it like stops the universe from continuing to expand.
And it's definitely dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And it
but there was a
matters.
Certain, yeah, it's dark and it matters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's very interesting. But yeah, but regardless, it's hard. It's you just kind of have to take that and take what it is.
Yeah, and I it's something you said earlier too about, you know, the people who are drinking every night or you know, doing whatever. I mean, as somebody who I've had my stretches of life where I've had substance abuse problems,
that type
of thing. I do think it, you know, going back to our earlier conversation, it is sort of like a lack of faith. It is like a doing that is a healing. I mean, people do it for all kinds of different reasons. Some people are just doing it to have fun.
Absolutely. And some people it's a legitimate genetic situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some people it's just simply, it's the quick healing. It's the quick healing of this, like this pain or is this boredom or this, I mean, it's all the same stuff. It's just a different choice of how to react to it.
Yeah, and I think that's what that probably is like why I give off a bit of a youth group vibe as well. Because like my big thing is like once something happens, it's not like dwelling on what happened. It's like, what's next? Like, I don't have time to worry about this. Like, let's go do something so I can succeed in something else because I failed in that.
Uh-huh.
Or like go back to it so I can succeed in it again, something like that. So. It's interesting.
Yeah, and so there was no point at whether and this was in college when this happened or afterward that you ever like considered turning to a religion, like going to church or more like when you went to church, like when you came home for Christmas after that, is there anything different or was it still kind of like it was just so separate and not really even a relevant part of your Like religion was just a separate, completely different thing.
I'm trying to think if I looked for religion after that. I think I really connected to other people that had gone through it. I think that religion was never an option for me to be like, oh, I'll start going back to church, or I'll start going to church.
Right.
Or even when we went to Christmas, it was like completely.
Yeah, it's
because I'm realizing just now that like religion filled kind of not an entertainment spot, but just kind of a positive role. So it wasn't like a.
Wasn't a healing force.
It wasn't healing. No, yeah. It was just like a nice presence. Like it definitely was encouraging and positive and like be yourself and do what you want, which is not what a lot of people get. Yeah. I don't know how I got lucked out on that view of religion. But I think it really connected me to other people and like sharing experiences. I think if anything, it's definitely opened me up to like a lot more of people sharing. Like I got very interested in storytelling and you know, like personal, and like a bunch of podcasts that talk about that kind of stuff. I'm obsessed with. That's probably a source of it. Just hearing about, you know, and hearing about people's low points and hearing about how they overcame them. It's little things like that. And I think it was more about like, how do I get out of this thing as opposed to, or how do I allow myself to sit in this thing, which is probably the hardest. It's like you need to let your body like get used to this so you can move on with it.
Totally. Wait, have you done much storytelling yourself? Or
No.
Is that something you're interested in?
I am interested in it. Yeah. I just the crazy part is I'm trying to figure out any stories that I think are interesting or worth creating. Or like in my mind, I'm always like, I don't know. And all these other people have such good stories.
Yeah.
So I just love listening to them.
Totally.
I'm passionate about it.
You know, I had a phase. I think I'll get back more into doing it because, like, you know, it's an obvious sort of adjacent thing to stand up is storytelling.
Yeah.
And I had a few that I've told, like, it is a weird thing crafting a story out of like, you know, the cloth of your life a little bit.
Right.
And like you're curating moments that you find important, but that if you really were able to look at your life from a different, almost like a director standpoint, you might choose something. Like my first ones were always like the obvious, like drug trip, like stupid drug story type thing.
Right.
I mean, they weren't completely stupid. I shouldn't like shit all over my profound experience.
Yeah, come on, man. It's your experience. No one else has had it.
But it is a weird thing, like that type of that's like it's just a weird thing about performing in general, or like the weird thing about stand up for me is like contextualizing your own life and like having to have a commentary or point of view. I guess not everybody does it about their life. That's some people's way out of it.
Like putting a lens on it. Yeah, it's very strange.
And I don't, you know. It's like for me too. I can be so cynical towards like I simultaneously like love The Moth and love like good story and like Risk and like those intense type of storytelling. But then I also sort of roll my eyes sometimes at like there's always like that same kind of like This American Life type vibe to them, or it's like you almost expect the tone going in,
right.
Or it's like it's also not. It's not a fair thing to say because there are some variety, but then
I was sitting in my foyer with my Doc Martens covered in mud. Let me back up. Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about?
And I knew that was the last time I'd see that scarf.
Right.
And as it swept on her hair, I realized, maybe the scarf was on me.
I'd been wearing the scarf the whole time. The scarf was my heart.
That's your Moth Grand Slam champion
bam,
for
bam,
you.
Bam, bam, bam. Nailed it.
Yeah.
I want to get into that eventually. I think it's important. That's like my thing is like, I don't know, like all of these like experiences that people have are so exciting and rich and real that like when I hear about that, I'm like, I want to hear about what's happened on Earth. Like, I don't know. I want to like hear firsthand accounts from people. So maybe you should read the Bible that gets those firsthand accounts.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the problem with the Bible is I found out, I mean, this is part of my, my going away from the church because I grew up, I was super into it. It was like, it was funny when you're telling me that story about your mom being like, I don't buy it.
Yeah,
it was
so
funny because I basically, I had a children's Bible and I've told the story on the podcast before, but I told her, I was like, I read it, like all these stories about Jesus and all things, and I was like, oh, so these are made up, right, Mom? But like innocent, like there's no problem if they're made up.
Right.
Like I know my favorite cartoons are made up and I love them.
Right.
And she's like, oh no, they're real. I'm like, Oh, okay. But I remember docking that and be like, is it? I guess so. Yeah, well, she said so.
That's so funny.
But then like, around when I went to college and I started studying religion, like as in classes, started studying the Bible. That's when I learned about like the Bible is very much a politically constructed and edited document. And like,
oh, wow.
multiple authors for most of the Old Testament, and they were like, but really? It's like, yeah, like the book of Genesis alone has like four primary sources that we, that scholars have, like, just by like handwriting analysis and also
really
knowledge about like certain political movements and yeah. certain religious movements, they know that like it was pieced together and edited together.
That's fascinating.
After the fact. And that's when I was like, oh wait, this isn't just like an infallible, this didn't come straight from Moses,
right?
Like,
right. Well, the big thing that I always like think about, and like I really like am totally like cool with all really, like I swear, like it's totally fine, but like the big thing for me that I always latch onto is like that long period of art history where everyone believed that Moses had horns because of some translation that went awry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. There, you look it up. There's like a large period of art because everyone was making religious art.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all sculptures where Moses has horns because there was one translation where it said there was like light coming from his face,
but the
light was translated from to horns.
Oh my God.
So it's like,
that's so funny.
There's
a goat Moses.
There must be like 100 years of like Moses with horns. Like, it's unbelievable. I want to look it up right now.
That's so funny. Yeah, please do. That was a safe choice for the artist back in the day. I mean, honestly, that's like the main way I think a lot of artists were able to even get work, was like getting commissioned to do religious stuff.
Right. Right. You know? Right.
Like, nobody's going to argue if you like doing it. Like,
I'd like to see that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Michelangelo. Michelangelo did.
He did
Moses
some horn Moses.
Horns. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, can I see this?
Yeah. 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 There he is. Let me find him. Defending. Yeah. There's the horns of Moses. Defending Michelangelo's horned Moses. Maybe just Michelangelo did it. I'm not a huge, yeah. It's his big statue.
Well, and if Mike did it, surely
Mikey,
others did it.
You know, Mikey.
Yeah.
Mikey Angelo. It's still blurry, but you can see the horns on the top of it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
See him?
Just yeah.
little tiny little nub horns, like baby carrots.
Oh, yeah. No, he looks straight out of Narnia.
Yeah. It's really like
Mr. Tumnus.
And maybe, I mean, I'd be embarrassed for Michelangelo if he was the only one that did it. And they were like, hey, what are those? He's like, oh, the text you gave me had horns. No, I didn't say horns.
That's so funny. No, it's, you know, somebody was like, hey, Mike. we're not totally sure, like, but he was like, if it was an underling, you had to be like, the king doesn't want the horns, right? That's what we heard the king.
This is my interpretation of him. Okay. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now he's Trump. Yeah. It's amazing. He's perfect.
Perfect.
Great. I'm Michelangelo. I believe that Moses has horns. That's not Trump. That's my version.
Yeah. This is as a side tangent. I actually did hear a story about Michelangelo with David. And I think he commissioned that piece he was commissioned to do that piece by a king or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the king, like, in order to make the king feel like happy and sort of like to appease him,
right,
he purposefully messed up part of it.
Oh, really?
And then the king was like, oh, like that part's messed up. You changed that. Because he knew the king was going to say change something.
Really?
So he intentionally fucked it up a little bit. Then he just like whittled down the nose or whatever it was.
Really?
And so the king was like, oh, yeah, that's now it's great.
There's something about the size of the penis on the statue too, right? That it's,
oh, really?
There's a statement behind how, like, the size of it.
I did not know that.
I don't remember what that is. You can look that up. There is a statement.
There's a couple of horns by the penis.
The balls are horns. Yeah, yeah.
Michelangelo.
I think
Jesus
Michael
Christ.
Just had a thing for horns. I don't know what that is, but I think it was some sort of political statement or some sort of like something behind this.
I can't even remember what we're talking about. Oh, biblical like literalism or
fall, oh yeah yeah yeah,
not believing Absolutely. In that. Shit, I can't remember what my point was about that. Stop believing in the Bible.
Oh yeah. Anyways, yeah.
I don't know.
That's
don't believe
great.
In the Bible anymore.
Great. Yeah, that must be like a very difficult thing to go through, like to like have that text be true and then for that text to not be true.
Yeah, I think the most, because it's interesting, because I think with that specific aspect, I don't know, because I was like on the internet a lot and like starting in middle school and high school, so like, and I was like with other, like I hung out in like atheist corners of the internet.
Right.
I was still like a believer, but I was like acquainted with like atheist arguments against it, and be like, I was comfortable, I don't know, so maybe that prepared me for the idea that it wasn't true, but
right.
The hardest part was for sure feeling the, and it's still, honestly, it still is, this is the hardest part for me, is the feeling the distance between not only my family and like knowing that they have a different version of reality than I do. And it's actually not even that, talking to my parents more, they're not 100, I don't think they're 100% biblical literalists either, so I don't even think, but like, just in that in general, and just because when I started losing that belief in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
started realizing like, oh, I've just been a Christian by default my whole life. Like, I didn't pick this. I didn't like.
There's no
like real reason for me to, other than I just happened to literally never remember anything else.
Right.
And so I stopped. And my main friend in college, my first year, first 2 years really were Presbyterian. I was like part of the Presbyterian campus ministry group.
Oh, cool.
Still like. I'm Facebook friends with so many of them, and I still like love them. They're doing so well. Like, and there's still so many great memories with them. And they're, you know, as far as Christians go, they're pretty liberal, like people too.
Right,
so
right.
That makes it a lot easier for
That's
me.
Good. Yeah. For sure.
But it was still very painful. I had to like, I basically made myself go away from that group my junior, senior year. Cause I was like, I can't like keep coming under the guise that I believe the same things as you. And it would be weird for me to like come and be like, I don't buy any of this.
Yeah.
I like you as friends, but this is stupid.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. And I think that like, yeah, that can definitely like cause problems where it's like, if somebody's like, you're wrong, it's like, well, you don't know. And I don't know either. So don't be an asshole.
I wish, you know, and that's something I wish that was more, there were more churches that had more room for that, for people who just didn't believe in the same specifics of the Bible, at least openly. Cause there's a church up in Pasadena. There's an Episcopalian church. That I went to a couple of times because the pastor I heard about, and he's amazing, Ed Bacon. I've had him on the podcast now.
Oh, cool.
But
that's awesome.
It was so interesting when I heard him one time, like some kind of preamble type thing.
Yeah.
He mentioned like all of like the people in the congregation today who are Buddhists and atheists and Muslim and Jewish. I was like, wait, is he like talking theoretically or specifically?
Yeah.
And I asked him, he's like, no, it's like specifically, like there, like we have like atheists and Buddhists.
No way.
Like it's because to him and to that community still, that's a way to make a community stronger is to not force complete, what do you call it? Assimilation, like homogenous.
That's amazing. Speaking about this actually just made me remember that in college I did go a little bit to a church. I went to Emerson College. Mm. And
the Atlanta, right?
Boston.
Boston. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I think you're thinking Emory.
I am thinking
Emory.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's reasonable. Emory's a great school, too.
I'm sure it is.
But, yeah, I went to Emerson in Boston, and my buddy Alex and I, every now and then, would actually... We took an ethics and justice class with this guy. His name was Eric Michael Dale. Mm-hmm. Amazing teacher. But he was, like, I think, a religious scholar, and then he just did all this incredible... I think he was in a choir for a long time. He did a lot of religious music.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became this ethics teacher, and he told us to go to the Harvard Memorial Church, which was the Church of Harvard. I believe they do a very basic, I don't even know what kind of denomination of church they mm-hmm. were. I think it was just like a Christian, non-denominational, I think.
Okay,
it was.
Yeah. The straight classic Bible.
Classic Bible, but what was cool about it, this guy Peter Gomes was like the, do you know him? Or do you know of him?
Not only do I know him, he was a visiting professor at UNC where I went to college, and I had him for a class. Peter Gomes.
Awesome.
He's amazing.
Isn't he the coolest?
Yeah, he's great.
He was so fucking cool. And he passed away, unfortunately, a couple years ago.
He did.
So sad. But we would go watch him, and we'd be like, this guy's a scholar. This guy's amazing. And then they'd have all these other people come, and it would be like these just like mind-filling, like intellectual, thoughtful conversations about religion that were like really usable. And that was like amazing. I crave like information and knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that was like really awesome for me to think about these like religious tones in this like really intellectual context.
Yeah. Well, Peter Gomes, he could lecture too. I mean,
oh yeah, I can imagine.
He had a great voice. It's a great voice. He's like, and for people who don't, most people I'm assuming don't know who he is. He's like this, I guess short African-American gentleman with like a strong New England accent that was borderline British.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had like, and he had these glasses. And apparently I found out later that he was a gay Republican too.
Mm,
what a fascinating dude.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
He was like a good friend of Reagan's, but also he came out as gay in the 90s. And as we talk about, not only a great speaker, just a clear genius.
Yeah.
Like he's somebody where you're like, oh, this guy's thinking like three levels ahead of whatever.
Whatever plane he was on, like it was really, really incredible.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of person that like, no matter what religion you are, you're like, oh, this person is so smart and so
and good.
Good. Yeah. Charismatic and interesting. That's so awesome that you had him as a teacher for a whole semester.
A whole semester.
That's awesome.
And I didn't know who the fuck he was going I was like, whatever, some visiting. Like it was like some biblical, it was on biblical interpretation. It was about different, like the evolution of biblical interpretation and basically finding out that literalism, people have not been taking the Bible, like, yes, people have been taking the Bible literally as long as its existence, but people have also been taking it metaphorically for almost as long as its existence, too.
That's kind of what I thought it always was.
There are communities, like, in the early, like, very early, like, I want to say 300, 400. It's been forever since I took the class. But, they were like, this is, like, these are metaphors, these are lessons, these are things that we don't necessarily have to believe the specific truth of Jonah being eaten by a whale and things like that. It just blew my mind because, like, you know, people want to paint that as like, oh, that's some like liberal, like new age type bullshit. You're just trying to make yourself feel better about religion. You're like, no,
but it's like like there's no way, like if it did happen or didn't happen, you can still take the same thing out of it. Like Jonah 100%. And the whale. Like, it's like, why don't we just treat it like a parable or treat it like a story, like something that's like, that is just like fiction, so that we can like take the actual message from it instead of arguing about the material values of it.
I couldn't agree more, man. And I wonder, I just have to think it's just because there are, unfortunately, there's just some people who need it to be true.
Right.
Who they can't, they need it to be truth. And so it's almost like, I don't know, my dad, the Presbyterian ministers, I typically skew more liberal than their congregation.
Right.
Was like always a thing, even though the congregations were fairly like, I would say moderate, like they weren't too conservative, too liberal. They're pretty middle of the road as far as politically.
Yeah.
But you always got that vibe, especially talking to like some of his minister friends. They're like, we don't, like, we all went to seminary. We'd studied this.
Right.
Like, we're not bullshitting ourselves about it. Mm-hmm. And now that I think about it, nobody's like, they weren't trying to be like, and we know this for sure specifically happened this way.
Right, but right.
It's almost like a piece of theater in some ways.
Yeah. It's interesting. I just think there's so much, I guess as an artist, I think there's so much value to storytelling anyways.
Definitely.
And as I've said, the storytelling I think is incredible. So it's like, let it be storytelling and let it be like these, but then we can take the same thing out of it.
Yeah, man. Know? Cool. Well, if you're into the gimmick of this show, we're about at that time. Yeah.
Okay.
If to jog your memory, you're just gonna make up a religion.
Okay.
If you're hip to it.
Okay. I'm hip to it. I'll make up a religion. You know,
I got bullet points. We'll work through.
Okay.
This doesn't have to be life or death. This doesn't have to be completely serious or whatever. Great. But
it's just like, this is the religion of Patrick. This is my world.
Right.
Okay.
Or the world you would like to be, whatever.
The world I would
however you want to interpret it.
I'm going to tell you how I'm going to interpret this.
Yes.
I'm going to try to scope into my life.
Okay.
And what I've been working towards and what I've been focusing on. That's how I'm going to create it. I'm not going to look towards idealists. Okay. I'm looking towards past experiences.
Right on.
That's what I'm going for.
Tight. All right. So in this religion then.
Great.
What kind of view of or belief or in God do we want? Whether it's a Buddhist thing where there's no God at all, do we want the classic like God of Christianity or any kind of monotheism? Do we want like a hierarchical like Greek system? Like there's people who have different jobs.
For my religion, I would like gods, multiple gods.
Mm-hmm.
I want a series of gods, but I want them all to kind of embody certain things, probably kind of like a Hindu religion, right? Gods that kind of embody, but gods that embody qualities.
Okay, yeah.
So like qualities of a good person,
like courage or
courage, honesty. Uh-huh. Yeah. What are the main? There's in my religion. There's got to be a god of courage.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a god of honesty. There's got to be a god of passion.
Oh yeah.
In all kinds of passion. There's got to be a god of humor.
Uh-huh.
And there's got to be a god of truth as well.
Tight, man.
I'll do five gods.
Five is a good number.
Yeah. And they're like a council. They're kind of like a committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
My religion is like a PTA.
A PTA of gods.
It's a PTA of gods.
Tight. So what's the overarching ethos or like main message or takeaway kind of thing?
Main takeaway is... work hard, treat people with respect, and look forward.
Tight.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are there any, do we have any kind of sense of sins or any kind of rules on
sins?
Do or don'ts?
Ooh, do's, don'ts.
Yeah.
Hmm. What kind of punishment would that be, right? A sin. Okay. I think a sin for me is if what kind of sin? It's just beginning to sound like a middle school, like posers. Like fake. If you're fake, you're not in my club.
Well, let's look at each of our five gods again. Okay. If we can remember.
Yeah, that's true. We had honesty,
courage.
We had courage.
Passion,
truth, and humor.
Humor, yeah,
the humor god.
So
right?
Being serious is one sin.
So yeah. No, I think yeah, like taking things too seriously could be.
Oh, it's that's a sin I commit all the fucking time.
Yeah, no, I do too. Actually.
All the time.
That's a very good point.
On this podcast, I commit that sin all the time.
No, wait, let's not do that. Let's not. Okay. Taking things seriously doesn't have to be a sin.
Okay.
I think what a real. I don't know. I don't want to say people are wrong. I think that a sin is something that it harms another person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty blanket sin. Mm-hmm. Something that harms yourself or another person. So, but I want to include like poisonous thinking, like negative thinking,
yeah.
Or like poisonous thought. I think that would be the biggest sin for me. It's like judgment.
Yeah.
And like destructive mm-hmm. behavior.
I feel it, man.
Yeah.
And you know, and this just reminds me of different people smarter than me interpreting sin in different ways. You know, the classic way is we interpret sin as like you're a bad person for doing this.
Right.
But it is more about like things that get you away from the truth is kind of a different way I've heard
really
of sin
think
being interpreted.
Of that. I really think, to me, a sin is something that is just so horrible to another person.
Yeah.
Like, to me, something a sin is like, or to yourself. It's like, this is just not helpful.
Exactly.
Like, this is getting in the way, so let's make this a sin so you don't do it.
Right.
Like, this gets in the way of us enjoying ourselves.
Tight. Okay. Are there any holy texts or any other kind of, like, is there a book or a magazine, a blog, a Tumblr,
ooh.
A pamphlet?
Ooh, Common Sense by Thomas Paine's Common Sense. I almost said Alexander Hamilton.
Greatest wrong. Pamphlet of all time, greatest, probably, right?
Really, probably the only pamphlet.
Probably?
It's that and a timeshare is like the only things that are pamphlets anymore. Good for him. Good for T-Pain. Like religious texts. I'm trying to think of the most influential like book on my life that probably, you know, I honestly might say like, ooh, this is tricky. I'm going to just go ahead and say it because it's in my head, but, Sid Caesar's autobiography
okay.
is like a really amazing, like, story of like a guy that really like fell apart and then like built his life back together.
Remind me who Sid Caesar is.
Sid Caesar like
I know I've heard
created
it.
Your Show of Shows. It's like one of the first TV shows.
Okay,
he's like
yeah.
a 50s comedian.
Okay, yeah.
But he just was like this kind of amazing person that like turned his entire life around. I would suggest that as a good text.
Cool.
Sure, why not?
Right on. Yeah. What kind of, is there any kind of regular, whether we call it a worship or a get together or a fellowship or whether it's like weekly, monthly, yearly.
Mm-hmm. I think for my religion, I would make it a monthly like coffee. Like everybody goes to a coffee shop or we go hiking or something.
Uh-huh.
It's like an event.
A big old coffee.
It's like a friend hangout. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
It's like a hang sesh and we all kind of talk about how like we're kind of positively
yeah.
working towards what we want
to
do.
Yeah, so you're talking to each other. Is there any prayer or meditation or anything?
If you want to. I would probably, if you feel like you need to pray.
Uh-huh.
I feel like these like things that are like, it's almost like positive thinking to instill yourself. So it's like you pray to the God of courage for courage. You pray for the God of honesty
yeah.
to give you the honesty you need to get through something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like if you need it, I think it's there. But I don't think it's a group thing. I think it's a personal thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about any like a sense of apologies or repentance of any kind?
Ooh. Yeah, I would like this is probably where my thing would get a little crazy because I think I would want like very honest and open apology. Like
yeah.
if it's like if you feel like I would pressure confrontation so that people would actually apologize for the things. Because to
yeah.
me it's like the only really thing we can count on is actually each other. So if you're not actually apologizing to people or like righting your wrongs and then there's people, there's probably enemies of mine that are listening to this right now. Like, you haven't righted your wrongs yet to me.
Right.
But this is the first step. I've just created the religion, guys. So give me a second. Give me 1 second.
Well, that's like, that's what's so tough to me. Like, I think about, like, I don't know, I have this like latent guilt all the time about stuff. You know, everything from minor things like, oh, I didn't show up at a party or whatever, to like more serious things that I've done before. And like, I've apologized I've definitely apologized to people in the past for that stuff. And sometimes it's like so far in the past, you start wondering, I'm like, well, this is like an AA concept, right? Like, you know, it's one of the steps is essentially telling, like apologizing to people that you wronged.
Absolutely.
But there's also there's a caveat in that, which is don't do it if it's just going to cause more harm than good. Like if it's a selfish thing to sort of apologize. And you know, that can be an easy way to cop out of apologizing, but you have to be honest about it. But I do think there are certain situations where it's like, is it really going to do like the person from 7 years ago who probably has forgotten, isn't thinking about it most of the time?
Yeah, that is very true. It's it's not going to help. And it's like, maybe they found their peace with it. If people found their peace with it, then you have to find your peace with it.
Exactly.
Too.
And it's more of like an egoic thing for me to like seek their forgiveness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but I would love that. I think that's what's so appealing to me about the idea of programmed like apologies like actually being like, hey man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because there are things where I'm like, it would just make me feel good to apologize for. At least like a safe space to apologize for.
Right.
And also, because then also I've apologized for stuff where people are like, what are you talking about? Like that wasn't.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't even remember that. Yeah. It's like, no. And now, but it's like, but I think getting it out in the open that you have these things that you're, you know, I think a lot of people are scared to apologize because they don't realize that everyone's just as anxious as you. Like everyone has these little things that they got hung up on and somebody will bring it up. Like you said, I said this and you said this. And you're like, I don't remember that at all. I just want to let you know.
Well, here's the other side of the apology coin that I think has helped me focus on is focusing less on that and more on the forgiveness, both of people that I wish would apologize to me and for myself, you know, and hoping other people will forgive me. And I think that's like a more, I don't know, focusing on the apology part, tends to bum me out and bring me down.
Yeah, yeah.
But focusing on the forgiveness part, which is something I believe in as like a good virtue and something I seek to constantly forgive people.
For sure.
For any perceived slight. Because a lot of them are completely perceived and imagined.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just recognizing that. But I think keeping it open that it's right to apologize, it's okay to apologize. Finding that
cool,
you know, that's going to happen in the cafetorium of my religious PTA meeting.
Is that what you say? It's a cafetorium.
It's a cafetorium. Yeah, come to the cafetorium for Patrick's religion.
Tight.
You're gonna have cookies, lemonade.
Uh-huh. Is there any? Is there any aspect of like? Do we need a money manager at all for this?
Ooh.
Does somebody have to keep track of funds?
Yeah, I feel like we'll have to get like snacks and stuff. So like, I feel like
a snack fund.
Yeah, there'll become some sort of like group snack fund, or like everyone will bring a snack. We don't really need. I think everyone pays for their own way.
Yeah, bring your own coffee.
Yeah, bring your own coffee. Snacks. If you're going to get coffee when we get to the Starbucks, grab one, you know, yourself. We're not paying for it. This is more of a group support thing.
Uh-huh. Is there any sense of music? Or not sense of, is there any
music in there? Ooh.
Singing?
I would like, let's throw some singing in there. Let's
throw some singing in there. Right?
I love that. Yeah, let's sing some songs.
And go ahead.
Just like any, you know, any sort of song that you like. I think you could bring a song. You can sing it, and it can, because that inspires. I think that hits all five tenets of what I was looking for. Right, courage, honesty, humor. What are the other two?
truth, and wait, you said
courage, honesty, truth,
passion,
humor, and passion.
Oh, it definitely hits passion.
Hell yeah, it hits all.
Fucking nails passion.
Oh my god, it's gonna kill passion. It's perfect. So I think that would fit as well.
Are we clapping after they sing?
We're absolutely clapping after they sing. We're clapping before they sing. We're clapping in the middle. This is like a live Simon and Garfunkel album.
<They're just laughs> it really does sound.
You ever listen to those? They'll clap at every second of every Simon and Garfunkel.
Woo!
Yeah, like woo. Bridge.
Oh, same with like the Grateful Dead. Like they had some acoustic albums.
Oh wow,
and that great albums. My pretty biased opinion, but there are. It's like as soon as they hear the first couple chords,
yeah.
People lose their fucking minds.
It's nuts.
Especially
like, we haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, to give them, to be fair to them, this was like in the 80s when like you didn't even have a VCR. You couldn't like find
that
online.
It's very true.
So it's like yes,
yeah, got it, nailed it.
With this. Coffee cafetorium.
PTA, religious PTA.
Yeah. Is there any kind of youth group or like special moment or time for kids? Like any kind of demarcation there?
Oh, like to raise kids into it?
Like, are they separated? Are they part of the whole thing?
No kids are involved. I think you have to be 18 to join. I think you have to be 18.
We're checking IDs.
No kids are coming. This isn't a family event.
You imagine a 17-year-old showing up. You just have to turn them away from a coffee.
Get out of here. You're not going to hang out at this church with us.
Scram.
I don't need kids there. I'm basically just describing like a hangout with my friends. Hey, I basically want to hang out with my friends.
Hey man, that's
because it's religious.
Perfectly fine. Yeah,
it's a religious experience. Just enjoying time with people.
Absolutely. Is there any kind of service or mission work or volunteering or anything?
Oh yeah, I think it'd be heavy on volunteering. I think it would have to be like, yeah, maybe that's when we include the kids. It's like maybe it's mostly just going and listening to, like maybe you know under. Underprivileged kids, teens, helping them out with problems.
So your volunteering is listening to them.
Yes. Yeah. They're not doing it. We're just listening. Whatever we're doing, we're going to help. We're trying to make but it's like, it would probably be like, it's not going to be mission work. It's just going to be like, probably just like group in like going to do charity work.
Yeah.
Like signing up for a charity every month.
Cool, man.
I'd be down for that.
Is there any kind of, to bring it back around to almost the beginning of the episode.
Oh, here we go.
Is there any kind of evangelism?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, we're listening to Buffett. No.
It's just a Jimmy Buffett song playing over the loudspeakers.
Just constant.
Just calling you.
Just constant.
The Pied Piper.
Yeah, exactly. Well, evangelism is like recruitment, right?
Right, any kind of outreach, marketing.
Ooh, that's where I get tricked up. I think I would maybe... keep it open, but it'll probably be through friends. Like, you should come do this.
Word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. Come to the PTA meeting.
No branding.
Have some fun. No branding. Just checking in with people, seeing if we're like living towards our best selves. That's all it is. It's like some weird little self-help cult group. That's what I want. That's what I want to create.
I love it, man.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
And for the last and hardest part, maybe. It doesn't have to be the hardest part, but sometimes it is. What's the title? You have a name for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would say, honestly, the PTA.
The PTA.
I think the PTA. Because that's what we've been working towards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The PTA, but the P and the T and the A can stand for other things, like...
Passion Truth.
The Passion Truth...
Association.
The Passionate and Truthful Angels. I just named a softball team.
Love it, man.
Passionate and Truthful Angels.
Well, you're stuck with that forever.
Oh, do I have it? Oh, my God. That's just it. Open a door. There's 300 people that are following you.
Well, we did it, man. That's it.
Nice.
Thank you so much for coming over.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This was great, man.
Yeah, this was really awesome. I don't really talk about any of this stuff usually, but I love it.
Yeah,
it's like awesome.
Me either, man.
Oh, yeah, you don't know.
This is only episode 48 or whatever. Anyway, thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, man.
And that's the show. Once again, thanks so much to Patrick for coming out. Look for the Parrothead podcast coming down the pipeline, depending on when you listen to this. Go to UCB LA. Find out when the bus is going to be on Mod Night. And you'll see a sketch written by Patrick. So check that out. And thank you guys so much. It's been a great year for me. And I have so much in debt to thank you guys for it. So please send me an email at joejoquint.net about anything, literally anything. Leave a rating or review if you want to. That's it for me. Love you guys. Jamaste.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?